based on two passages of scripture. I want to minister to you about the mystery of maturing as an apostolic believer. Maturing as an apostolic believer. Now this is apostolic because the church have not talked about this much. In Ephesians chapter 4, and then we go into the book of Acts. I think we'll go through the book of Acts because there was apostolic believers that was operating. If you try to operate being a Christian without being taught apostolic, right? With apostolic grace and apostolic power, write that down. Yeah. I think that's Acts 4:33. But if you try to do it and you're not a student of the apostolic, of the government, of the some other words I'll use tonight, you won't be able to do it. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, start us on this maturing journey. If you're not taught apostolically, you will not think apostolically, and you will not be able to function apostolically, and you will not be able to recognize an apostolic anointing, which is, I believe, the head of the ministry gifts. You notice in the book of Acts, it didn't say the Acts of the prophets. No, it didn't. It didn't say the Acts of the pastor. It called it the Acts of the apostle, because that was a shifting in the power, and the ministry became stronger after Jesus died and after he rose from the dead. That was a shifting in power, and I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. But here in Ephesians 4:11, I want you to be well acquainted with this. The 11th verse to the 16th verse. These are verses that bring maturity to the children of God. The maturity verses. How maturity is going to take place? How am I going to grow? How am I going to be more stronger today than I was yesterday? Are you with me? Yes. Now, we're talking about maturing. You probably never heard this type of teaching, maturing as an apostolic believer. Now, I'm going to say some of the miracles and signs and wonders I taught some of my class last night, some of the miracles, signs, and wonders that we're supposed to be seeing, they came, but we couldn't shift with them because we had not grown enough from just through pastoral teaching nothing cutting the prophetic short, nothing cutting teaching short. But this apostolic has to be implanted if we're going to live beyond the Bible being a historical book. It become a handbook for living. Yes. You see the difference? Yes, historically, it helped Paul and helped Peter. But for it to be a hand manual for us in the thing that we're dealing with, we need to know how to tap into it in that facet. You follow what I'm saying? Yeah, still in being secondhand, let it become firsthand. In other words, the Spirit of God minister to you. So look at that 11th verse, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, and very simple and very clearly, three purposes there. Verse 12, for the perfection of the saints. You see that? That word perfecting there can be completing or maturing. One of the worst things you can come upon is a person who's been in church 15 years and immature about spiritual things. Now, they know the religion and they know the ritual and know how to get around in the church, you know, and how to get their seat and all that. But we're talking about knowing how to function in that, let me say it this way, knowing how to function in that other realm. Write that down, because we got to start thinking about realm. We got to think about invisible, but not invisible to you. That the Holy Spirit will take you into places that is not normal to somebody else, but to you, it's where you're supposed to be. All right, so he says in the 12th verse now, for the perfection of the saints, number one, for the work of the ministry, number two, for the edifying the body of Christ. Now, if we don't mature, we can't do neither one of those. And we've been have the limit on us because you're limited by your instruction. You're limited. I mean, the person over you, they're not going no farther than the farther you're going. You might catch something, you'll catch a ride or something, but you're not going to stay there because you're coming right back under them. All right? So I plan on taking you into the 13, the 14, the 15, and the 16 verses that we'll grow to that. But look what it says now. In this growth, or in this perfecting of the saint, or in getting the saint ready, or you ready for ministry, and that for the church to be built up as she should be, we're going to have to come into the unity of the faith. You see that 13th verse? Tell, untell. We all come into unity of faith. Now, you're starting out not actually at verse 11, but verse 11 has a whole lot to do with it because that's what the Lord is trying to point out. You can't come there without verse 11. So we all come into unity of the faith. Well, word of life not there. Three quarters of word of life home tonight. We're not there. I mean, at large. Now, we can be there. Those of you who are maturing with me, y'all can go places that the people who don't show up on Wednesday night because of religion got them, tradition got them, they'll never be able to go where matured Christians go. Amen. All right? See, the people think that they know the scriptures or know some chapters and verses that they got it. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that type of maturity. I'm talking about when the chapters and the verses know you. Amen. You see the difference? Yeah. Because they become the unified knowledge of the Son of God unto that word again now. A perfect man, a complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now that's maturing talk. That we henceforth be no more children. See now, see? Tossed, verse 14, to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Everything everybody's saying. By the sleight of men. Cunning craftiness, you see that? Whereby they lie in wait to do what? Immaturity is set up for deception. If you're immature, so that's why we're working on it. But speaking the truth in love. Now love is the greatest current, like electricity, the greatest current in the spirit world. We must always function out of love. Even when we're correcting somebody, we must function out of love. But speaking the truth in love may grow up. See that word? Underline the word. Grow up. I like that. Grow up. Grow up. Stop crying about everything. Grow up into him. How? Ooh, you need to underline that. Grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we're talking about growing up. We're talking about growing up in the spirit. We're talking about becoming more matured in the spirit. I'm going to show you some things tonight that will cause you to grow tonight, all right? The 16th verse talks about when Christians begin to grow, this is what began to happen to them. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied. That's growth, you see. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. So all three of those things that is talked about in verse 12 are explained in verse 13 through 16. I want you to be a student now. I want you to find the perfecting of the saint, the work of the ministry, and edifying the body of Christ. He tell you, give you an explanation. Those four voices on there give you the explanation of what that mean about all three of them. I'm not going to get into it. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 now. Acts chapter 1. But I just want you to get an insight of what maturity look like. Okay? What maturing look like when a person is mature. What maturing look like. All right, now in Acts 1, because this is called the Acts of the Apostles. Some call it the Acts of the Holy Ghost, but it's the Acts of the Holy Ghost through the Acts of the Apostles. All right? And I'll give you a more definition in a few minutes. But I want you to see what Jesus did. And I want to go ahead of myself and tell you something that we will bring us in maturity quickly, quicker than ever before. We talk about the power of the cross, and the cross is powerful, 1 Corinthians 1:18. And we talk about the power of the resurrection, and that's powerful. That's Philippians 3:10. And we talk about the power of the Holy Ghost. That's powerful. That's Acts 1:8. But it's a power we don't talk about, that if we don't, neither one of them are validated. The power of the cross. See, this is going to grow up now. The power of the resurrection, the power of the Holy Ghost are not validated unless you understand another power. We're going to look at it in Acts 1. That's the power of the ascension. If Jesus didn't ascend it, the cross, the resurrection, and the Holy Ghost would not be validated. Not only that, there's another power called the power of the seated position. Seated position. Acts 2:6, you seated with him. You have to know that. And then now you come back, you talk about the power of the kingdom, the power of the cross, the power of the resurrection. But now you can come back, because if Jesus had not ascended, none of those would be validated. So we don't preach about the power of the ascension, where Jesus revealed to us in his ascension that he can reverse anything. Amen. There, he reversed the tug of gravity. Gravity hold you down. He went straight up. And he was showing us what divine living would be like. And Jesus never did anything just to do it. We're going to see him, he just took off. See. And so, we have to mature. If you don't know your... Let's go backwards now. If you don't recognize when you're dealing with something that you're seated already with him, you don't have to go look for Jesus. You're seated with him. And then you have to recognize that he did exactly what he said when he talked to him about things pertaining after his passion, the Bible says, in first 10 verse of the first chapter. He talked to them pertaining to the things of the kingdom of God. Now, Romans 14:17, you flip some of these verses with me. You know what the kingdom of God is. I want you to look at Romans 14:17 and 1 Corinthians 4:20. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Then you go in 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is not word only, but power. The kingdom of God is power. It's a place that God put you in to operate in another realm. Now there in Acts, we can read in Acts. I'll read it. The first chapter, first verse. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, and he was a king of some kind, and all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Now this after his resurrection, until the day in which he was taken up, and that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto the apostles. No, impostor. Pastor. Apostle. Prophet. Apostle. Teacher. Apostle. Evangelist. Apostle. All right, now, if he give it to the apostles, who can best teach it? Apostle. You got to have a certain anointing for that. Yes. You see? And the Lord wants you to show you, many of y'all have been in the church, but here I've been dropping your lap now. Everything, we preach about the cross, we preach about the blood, but there's no validation unless somebody preach about he ascended it. You see, you're very little teaching about that, very little teaching about he ascended it as if it's some small matter. So he did it in an extraordinary manner so we can understand this is the way your life gonna be. Extraordinary. Your life not going to be. See, it points out if it's such a word, beyond normality or beyond being normal. Amen. See, maturity reveals to you spiritually that you're not supposed to live a normal life. That you are to live above scenarios and situations that come in your life because you have such power. You got all these power. You got the power of the kingdom, the power of the cross, the power of the resurrection. All that's on the inside of you, the power of the Holy Ghost. These divine attributes that come from God enable you, oh my goodness, not to live at a normal pace. One of them boys was preaching. I think it was Stephen. Who that boy preached? Philip. In the 8th chapter of Acts, he's preaching. And he got to and he ministered to the man, and then he was caught up, gone. Not by train, not by bus. Supernaturally, he ended up in another city. Now, some of this stuff going on now, we just don't know it. What? Yes, sir. People are getting far enough in the spirit to be transported. But you, well, I mean, you don't know about it. I mean, we can't get to church. How are you going to transport? But in these last days, hallelujah, we're going to begin to see some things. Those of us who mature, we're going to begin to experience some things. It won't be the same humdrum, the same pace. We'll be functioning more of being a matured Christian than just singing a song. To a certain degree, I hear in the spirit, our expectation has been frozen because we have not known the deeper dimension of the spirit. So we sort of, in our lives, we are copycats. And by being copycat, you're held at the level of something that already has happened in somebody else's life, and that's the furthest you think you can go. But that's not so. Because as I speak to you tonight in his name, there's no limit in God, in Jesus, in the Holy Ghost. So that means there's no limit, that's right, in you. But it take maturity, watch how you get those now, listen. Going beyond the scriptures. What I mean by that? Huh? What I mean by going beyond the scriptures? Nobody know? Y'all a little scared, huh? What you say? Revelation? Living? I'm talking about going beyond the scripture. All right, turn to John 5:39. I got to teach you about this. I thought you already knew that, but God dog it, I got to teach you. John 5:39, search the scripture. Don't tell me you knew it. I don't want to hear that. The devil slapped you side of the head 16 times by the time I knew it. No, you need to know this. Scriptures bring you to him. You can't mature just being in scriptures. God, dog. You can't, see, it seems like I'm contradicting the Bible, but I'm not. I'm calling you out. The reasons, a lot of times we don't get an answer, the further we go is the scripture. And he said the scriptures are to point you where? To me. The scriptures can't do nothing for you without me. The scripture didn't die for you. I died for you. You see my point? How many of y'all learned something right there? How many of y'all learned something about the ascension? What grave part the ascension and the seated position played to validate the cross and everything else that validated. But it, you have to know that. You have to know that's a done deal. You have to know that he didn't only just get up, he went up. You see what I'm saying? And the word, I guess a word here would make you more anointed now is connection. I'm connected to heaven because he ascended. Anybody want to be connected to no grave? You see, a lot of Christians get connected to the grave. He didn't want to get connected to his grave. All right. So you see John 5:39. Now, if you can't get that, you're not going to grow up. You see, because this has been holding a lot of people back because they came from religion where no scriptures was taught, and they came to the word of faith where scriptures was taught, and they stopped at the scriptures. And they're proud of it. But that's why you think Jesus said that? He had something like that. They had the quote, they had scriptures written all on their head, engraved in their head, all on their arm. But they hadn't come to him. And so religiously, the church have some Pharisee mannerism. What is Pharisee mannerism? A form of godliness, Paul said to Timothy, but denying the power thereof. Some of the little dilemmas you went through should have been Sunday school, because you've been in church too long for that to have such a hold on you. But because of immaturity, yes, sir, and being scripturized, stripped you of some of your power. It has people who can go a ring around me quoting scripture, but not in power, not in knowing God personally. You have to learn to go direct to him before you read a scripture. You have to know that's your divine right. You have to be able to say, God, we got to get this done. Jesus, where are you in this? Why are you waiting? See, you're scared. You got to talk to him. But you don't become familiar with him, but you recognize that you have a relationship and a fellowship and a divine right. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. And a divine right as a child of God. Grow up. I should have named this grow up. Grow up. It's in the scripture. Remember read in Ephesians? Say grow up. Grow up, that means mature. That means go to the place where not only your spirit and your soul is connected to God, but your senses is connected to him. He talked about in Hebrews, the last verses in Hebrews. Say you exercise your senses that you'll know evil from good. I mean, you get the whole thing in a line when you get in maturity and mature. So, I mean, sin, not even in the picture. Practicing sin, going to do something wrong, that's not even a picture. When you're mature, you're not stupid no more. We mess around with immature people. You better not sin. Quit a daughter. That's people that haven't grown up. You got to send them back to school. But a person who have grown up, they're not going to purposely dishonor God. That's a sign of maturity there. That I'm not going to play with God. I'm not going to play no game. You know? Okay. All right, so let me try to read this. Let me give you this. Get ready? You ready? And this is some of my notes from my school, because I got my teacher's school and my church at the same time about the apostolic believer. Apostolic church, apostolic ministry, apostolic believers. All I'm saying is the New Testament church. It's nothing new. It's no new religion. Oh, listen to me now. It's no new religion. It's just where we should have been all the time. So what robbed the apostolic denomination? Religion, men and women who thought they were so deep in the things of God. And so people were so empty and so childish, they jump on the wagon to go with them because they thought they were somebody special, had something special that they couldn't have. And so it created immature Christian who we must mature. Now, I know some of y'all at a certain level of maturity, but in the apostolic, I want to show you some greater things. So take this point down. Apostolic believers know the word of God and the ways of God. And the thoughts of God. When the scripture says in Isaiah 55, 8, my thoughts are not your thought, my ways are not your ways. He was not talking to Christians. He wasn't talking to believers. He was talking to wicked men. Wicked men can't know his thoughts. Wicked men can't know his ways unless they surrender. But we who are believers and walking with God, we can think about something just like God think about it. And we can know exactly what God would do in this situation. Why? Because he'll reveal it to us. Why do you think he gave us the Holy Spirit? He gave us the Holy Spirit to know his thought. He gave us the Holy Spirit to know his ways. He gave us the Holy Spirit to be able to function in his power. Yes. Are you following me? Yeah, you know God's thoughts. Yeah, you know God's ways, and it's not just scripture. His ways and his thought is in the scripture, but they're really to bring you to him. Yes. You got that? Yes. So think about your last dilemma, the last thing you went through, the last thing you were dealing with. Now think about it. Now put yourself in this category. Put yourself, while these few minutes I've been talking to you, put yourself how you would have handled it different. See, you got all these powers. And you know you're sinning. You know you're sinning. He didn't only get up. You know he went up. Where he went? He's going back to the Father to seal the deal. It wasn't sealed at the resurrection. He was sealed when he got back to the Father. Then the Father said to him, sit down. You in the church not going to rule. So I want you to get that first point. That first point is apostolic believers, and that's believers who know spiritual government. That's believers that are not going to be organized by a man. That's believers who hearing from God. And then if it was given to the apostolic and it was carried out by the apostolic, then to keep it going, we're going to have to be apostolic. Second thing about them, they carry spiritual authority and they are not afraid to use it. You have to know you're carrying spiritual authority. As a maturing apostolic believer, you have to know the word of God, the thoughts of God, the ways of God, and you have to know you're carrying spiritual authority. You have to know it, and don't be afraid to use it. One of the spiritual authority you got in the name of Jesus, in the power of the blood. This is authority that no other authority can even hinder because it already have whipped it already. Okay, so they carry spiritual authority and they're not afraid to use it. Now, here's what a church got in the bucket at. I always try to keep this church out of it, this ministry out of it. I do think that I don't come every Sunday telling you what we're doing, but we're reaching out to different people and getting them saved. They have a vision for reaching all nations for Christ, taking dominion, and ministering with fresh prophetic insight. Now, let me take you to the scripture. I'm going to show you somebody's prophetic insight. You're in Acts 1. All right. Go down to Acts 1:9. You there? And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up. See that? And a cloud what? All right, now, watch verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, so you know what way he was going, he went up. Behold, two men stood by him in white apparel. Now, here, prophetic insight, prophetic utterance. What you also say, you know, prophesy now. Ye men of Galilee, why standing ye gazing into the heaven? This same Jesus. Now, that's another aspect in maturity. He's coming back. He's coming back. See, anytime somebody looks like they're taking over, you know, don't worry yourself. They can't take this over, baby. He's coming back. This belonged to him. He just temporarily, but he's coming back. So the second coming, now we got the ascension, we got the seated position, and we got the second coming. All of them going to be have to be validated for us to be matured. It'll increase your power. It'll increase your power if you know everything here temporary. It'll cause you not to build a house that you think you're going to be here the rest of eternity. You're not. You know it's just temporary. So you just something God letting you use. So now you can't get stuck on your house. Can't get stuck on your car or a ring or something. It's only temporary. He's coming back. I don't care what kind of ship they build, how technology arranges itself. I don't care about Apple. None of them. How high they think they're going, he's coming back. He's coming back. Yeah, he's coming back. And nobody can stop him, just like he left. Nobody couldn't stop him. When he get ready to come back, nobody can stop him. Now, that's one of the Christian subpoena for power. They know that he's seated. They know that he ascended. And they know he's coming back, but they know he's watching over us while he's seated. So frustration, worry, disappointment, stress, depression should not be on you. Walk with him. Talk with him. And hear his voice. Hallelujah. Walk with him. Talk with him. And hear his voice. Hallelujah. I said walk with him. Talk with him. And hear his voice. And then go down the line of them powers. They couldn't stop him at the cross. They couldn't stop him at the grave. They couldn't stop him from leaving. And then the ascension validate Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8 cannot take place until verse 9, 10, 11 was in play. He had to get back to the Father, tag the Holy Ghost, and told the Holy Ghost, your turn now. In your maturity, you get ready for this. In your maturity, you got the divine right to tag the Holy Ghost. He made it possible. He tagged the Holy Ghost to bring him back. Now, your job as the church, when you're dealing with something, you're supposed to be able to tag the Holy Ghost. One or two more things I want to give you here. Fresh prophetic anointing. A fresh prophetic insight. And then an apostolic believer, they have an orderly divine flow and command dormant gifts to stir and come alive. Ooh. Now, when you see yourself well, let me show you a few more things here. When you see yourself maturing as an apostolic believer, receiving apostolic ministry, turn to Matthew 16 now. Apostolic believers knows the word of God and the ways of God. See, these scriptures we read, but they have to come alive, and they almost was a promissory note until Jesus can transact his business. In every situation in your life as a matured Christian, you should know who he is. You should know exactly what he's going to do. And you should decree it. no matter what it look like physically, no matter what it feel like, you should come to a point to know these things now, because you're living on the other side of the resurrection, the ascension. And you should know what to do. So here in Matthew 16, I want you to write, apostolic believers know how to build. They know how to build. They know how to build things. They know how to build things in the spirit. They know how to build their case when they need a case. All right? And so here in Matthew 16, this have not been used as it should be. It says in the 13th verse, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I the Son of Man am? Who do man say I am? Who do somebody else say I am? Because I'm finally going to get the question to you. I want to get personal, and I want you to become matured, and I want you can know who I am unless you mature. So I'm going to ask you about these other people. In a few minutes, I'm going to get to you. When you're going through something, who you saying he is? You follow me? Now, we're talking about maturing. We're not talking about just material now, material thing. We're talking about maturing in the realm of the spirit, that we know how to yield to the Holy Ghost. We know how to yield to what the word said about him and get results. See, you can put right side maturity results. Result, because when you start walking maturity, you'll get results every time. It's religion that robbing you. It's rituals that robbing you. It's routine that robbing you. See? There's another word need to be placed here. We talk about revelation, right? Revelation. Say revelation. Revelation. That's another word I want you to get a hold of. Reality. Yeah. It got to become real to you. You're not going to mature if it's not real to you. Are you following me? And so here, Jesus asks, whom do men say that I am, the Son of Man am? Now, he's telling who he is all the time. 14th verse, they say, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some, you cannot be guessing no more. Amen. What God going to do about your situation? You can't be guessing. And we guess from scripture to scripture. I say we guess scripture. We guess which scripture. Oh, y'all don't want them to take it. We be guessing. Well, I take chapter 5, verse 4. No. You don't need that many scriptures to get something done. When a scripture is firmly spoken to your heart, write it. Because that's the one he wants you to write. See, meditate that scripture. Don't look for another one. Meditate it. Sleep with it. Get up with it. Eat with it. That scripture. That scripture is the scripture. That's the one he spoke to your heart. But you done put 9 other scriptures in there because you knew them. Scriptures don't need no witness. Scriptures are the witness. He ain't saying the mouth of two or three scriptures. So this verse is for matured Christian, this revelation. Not what other people say. They're guessing. John the Baptist, Eli, Jeremiah. See now, you can't, as long as you're matured, you just like them, you're guessing. Jesus is in a class. Do I say anymore? All by himself. Jeremiah is not in the class with Jesus. Don't take a Jeremiah scripture and leave Jesus out. That's where immaturity. Don't take an Ezekiel scripture and leave Jesus out. Because they won't work without Jesus. See? See, when you walk in a room, you need to know who is the man if you want to get a favor. You can talk to the janitor and all them people and talk to them, but you need to know who the man is if you want to get a real favor. So that's the same way with scripture. You know, Jeremiah and them, they're all right, but they're messengers. Jesus is the message. Jeremiah didn't die for you. I'm picking on you, Jeremiah, but I just got to hit you tonight. It's Ezekiel. Because I want the body of Christ, I'm almost through, to get matured. We need to mature. You can't mature without Jesus being Lord of Lord and King of King in your life. That you don't make no decision without Jesus. You consult him before you make a move. Don't let no scripture tell you go without Jesus. I know y'all said, what are you talking about? I'm talking about being matured, because we take scriptures and do things and Jesus didn't tell us nothing. Every scripture now will come alive to you as you mature and you'll know how to walk in it. Are you following me? So he said, and they made all these guesses. He said to them, but now verse 15, here you are in maturity. Here you are. You got a problem. You got frustration. You got your neighbor hollering. You got the group hollering. Politician hollering. Everybody hollering. But he said unto you, but who say ye that I am? Who am I to you? Not to that group down there. Who am I to you? Everybody crying. The storm coming the other day. Storm coming. I said, no, it ain't coming here. Rest your nerve. Go to the store and get what you got to get. And that's why one can put 1,000 to flight. Yeah, yes, number two. Two could put 10,000, because that's the ratio of unbelief we're dealing with. You got it? That's the ratio of unbelief. You probably got 1,000 saying, oh man, the storm coming. I don't know what we're going to do. See? But God didn't put us in that ratio. And somebody got to have a revelation. And Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ. You see that? The Son of the living God. See, to walk in maturity, you got to have a revelation, and you can't let the crowd upset you or sidestep you. You got 1,000 over there saying one thing. You say, no, I know he the one. I know Jesus is going to take care of me. But you got to have a revelation. See, there's four, John, Elijah, you see, they were guessing, the whole crowd, a bunch of people. But this one man got a revelation from God of who Jesus was. You know, when it boiled down to the bottom line with your life, it's going to have to be you to grow up and know what to do in any given situation. You're going to be just like Peter here. I heard they say it, but then in Simon Peter answered, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see verse 16, 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, all right, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-John, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, what is 1 Corinthians 2:9 saying? 1 Corinthians 2:9, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the soul of man, the thing that God had prepared for him. But the 10th verse said, when revelation come, that man know what to do. But the Spirit reveal. But the Spirit reveal. But the Spirit reveal. See? The Spirit had to reveal the scriptures. Now, we done got so past that with the scriptures, we want the scripture to reveal the scriptures. Can't. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit got to reveal the scriptures. Holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So if they wrote, the scripture is wrote by the Holy Ghost, huh? Only the Holy Ghost can reveal them. And live in maturity, you're going to have to live in revelation. And you can't let the crowd punk you out. If you know God telling you something, don't care how many say go left, you better go right. If God telling you turn right, turn right. You follow? Now that's maturity. See, immaturity got to please everybody. Immaturity, boy, what you want? What you want? Oh, y'all sit down. We all gonna get the same thing. Somebody coming there with some authority. Demons don't know how to take instruction. You got to demand them. Whatsoever you bind on earth, I can't bind it without you. Whatever you loose on earth, I can't loose that without you, you won't. You got to get in on it, and you got to get in on it in the spirit. Baptist boy, I preached this scripture many times. 17th verse, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I build my church. That's the revelation, you see. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And here it is, verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. But that came by revelation. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. It's 7:50 in case you don't have your watch. And I help your neck. You don't have to be turning your neck. Yes. The second insight of maturity, not only are we builders, but we are governors. We should govern our environment for the Lord. You see, in that ninth chapter, he said the government should be upon his shoulder. Well, we are his government. And we organize religion and organize sin cannot overpower us. Because he had taken care of that already. You see in the ninth chapter, he said, the government, you read down, the government is upon his shoulder, of his kingdom there shall be no end. And he'll order it and establish it. He'd do that through you. So that's a different government in the apostolic. That's why in the book of Acts, that's why the churches today are not getting all, most of the churches are not getting all the way in because they're trying to work from another government. You got to work from an apostolic government that is already done. I'm not trying to do this, it's already done. I'm not trying to do this, it's already done. I'm not trying to win, I already won. I'm not trying to be blessed. I'm already blessed. We have to know that. It doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter what's going on. It's done. See? Hallelujah. They know how to attack hard heaven. Nobody else can get through. An apostolic believer said, we can handle this. See, the pace setters. agents of change, trailblazers, pioneers in the spirit realm. Quite natural, their life materially and health-wise and blessed going to be open because they're trailblazers. They're moving. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Just mature. Read the scripture over and over again in Ephesians there and make sure you are in a matured category. There's no excuse for you not being matured if you live here. Another thing about an apostolic believer, and I'm gonna see if you're in this category. They carry spiritual liberty. They're free. And no matter what's going on, they're free. They know it. They know, and not know everything gonna be all right. Everything is all right. This is just a temporary delay. See, they understand the scriptures over there in 1 Corinthians 4:13, it talks about the spirit of faith. But then they get down to the end of that chapter, they talk about things, the temporary things and things that are eternal. I'm eternally free. So you don't have to die to be eternally free. You follow what I'm saying? So you know you're going to have to deal with things, but you're walking in spiritual liberty. Jesus said you shall know the truth. The truth will set you in liberty, set you free. All right, class. All right. All right, Lord, thank you. No, I'm not trying to impress you. I'm trying to invest you. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. You are designed in spiritual maturity in the church of the living God as an apostolic believer. You are designed to set the pace or be a pace setter. Immature people can't set no pace. They ain't been nowhere. But as you grow and develop in these things, I like what Paul said. He started at the sixth verse, be anxious for nothing, but anything, everything by prayer and thanksgiving, supplicating, let your request be made known to God. Peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your heart and mind, or your soul and mind through Christ Jesus. Then he tell you what to think. Huh? Then, but he said this, those things what you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Yeah, you see how powerful that is? He said, those things which you have both, one, number one, what? Learn. Number two?
Receive.
Number three?
Heard.
Number four?
Seen.
So when you become a matured Christian, you're not a jackass. Yes, see? You're stable. Your life is only used by God. If you make a mistake, you repent for the mistake, hit the ground. Because you want to honor him. Speaking of jackass. There's a scripture in the Bible where the jackass knew more than the man was riding. The jackass told him, man, you don't see that angel up there with that sword. You're talking about you kicking me. I ain't doing you nothing. I'm trying to save your crazy life. He couldn't see it. And that's what immaturity is. You can't see. It belongs to you, but you can't see. Nah, that's not going to happen to you. You're opening your eyes tonight. That's what I'm here for. I look like I'm katalabu shukota. It be still not time. Look like I'm preaching in the negative, but I'm actually preaching in the positive. I preach the opposite of what I'm trying to get you to see sometimes. To know, let me close here, to know that what you're dealing with can't whip you. That, listen, oh my God, somebody might shout you now. That what you're dealing with, the Lord permitted only to mature you. Because if you got something you never use, you don't know what you got. And if your life get in the comfort zone, you're not going to ever mature. So God permits something to happen that you can shift and go to the other gear. Shift and go to the other level. So don't worry about them little Mickey Mouse things they're trying to work with your life. They can't rule him. But mature. Mature. Take the word can't out of your vocabulary. Go back to your identity. I am. That's your identity. I am whatever he says I am. I am whatever all the scripture said about me. I am. I am what the blood bought. You see what I'm saying? That's the way we got to do that. And so in the book of Acts, let me read a few scriptures and I'll close. The book of Acts. Well, let me give you one more. You're not only a pace setter, but, and these two kind of correlate, you have a divine influence. Matthew 5, 14, you the light of the world. Yeah, matured people are light. Matured people are light. You see them coming. Miles away, you can see them coming. They're matured. They're walking in the things of God. They're not afraid. They're not a gossiper. They're walking in love, thinking the best of every person. Huh? Telling the person who fell on, get up, you're going to make it. Yeah, yeah. Ain't looking for somebody to beat on. They're looking for somebody to lift up. Yeah, maturity. You're a divine influence. Now, to be an influence, you got to have something to influence with. Mm-hmm. You got Matthew 5, 14, 16? I want you to get that. And I didn't get far tonight, but I'm closing. So let me close by reading this scripture to you, this 10th verse. I just want to read them because we're going to probably go through the book of Acts. Let me read them to you again now with all the stuff I've said to you. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Thank you, Jesus. Until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost, after he was taken up, has given commandment unto who? Whom he has chosen. Uh-oh. Whom he had chosen. Whom he had chosen. I can get in trouble right there. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, you underline pertaining to the kingdom of God. That's one of the points I'll work with later. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. And that's the Holy Ghost. Where said he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with what? Not many days hence. When they therefore was come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, I've told you enough to deal with already. You so know that you can't. No, he didn't say all that. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time of the season, which your Father has put in his own power. See, that's something. The Bible says the thing that reveals us is revealed, and the thing that is not revealed, it belongs to God. That's why he said a word of knowledge. A word of wisdom. You don't have all the wisdom he has. He gives you a word. All right. And then he says in the 8th verse, but you should receive power after that. The Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witness unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, first 10 verses, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. That was angels, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you ye gazing up into the heaven? Go to work. It's Sam Jesus. He didn't want you to stand up as gazing. Was it taken up from you into heaven? Shall the Sam Jesus. This Sam Jesus. Was it taken up from you in heaven? Shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Amen. Close the book. Close the book. The rest of y'all who didn't clap, y'all.